Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 2026, and if you have been checking your feeds lately, you know the atmosphere out there is, well, it's absolutely electric.
It really is.
People are calling it a digital gold mine, and honestly, it feels like we're in the middle of a historical month for anyone paying attention to the crypto space.
It feels like the market has woken up from a long, strange nap.
Yeah.
The energy is just... it's completely different from where we were, say, 6 months ago. It feels matured.
Matured, exactly. But here's the thing, and this is what we're really going to dig into today. It's not the same old game we were all playing a couple of years back. Do you remember 2024? The year of the tap.
How could I forget? My thumb still cramps just thinking about it.
We were all just furiously tapping our phone screens, you know, chasing those little digital hamsters. It was the era of tap to earn.
Oh, yeah.
You'd walk onto a subway car and half the people were just staring blankly, tapping away.
Right. The hamster combat days. It was everywhere. It was a cultural phenomenon, really. But looking back, it was, well, it was a bit absurd.
Well, today we are unpacking a massive shift. The sources we've pulled suggests that the era of fatigue, that feeling of why am I even doing this, is over. We are seeing the rise of a sophisticated second wave.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it skill to earn.
Which sounds like a subtle marketing tweak, but it's actually a fundamental change in both the psychology and the economics of it all.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving from mindless activity to merit-based rewards.
It's the industry growing up.
It is.
And leading this charge is a platform called Tapsy. So the mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We're going to look at whether this skill-to-earn model is actually sustainable or if it's just another hype cycle.
Another one destined to crash and burn like the last.
Exactly. We're going to tear apart the mechanics of Tapsy, look at the competitors because there are some really interesting ones popping up, and figure out if this is the successor we've been waiting for.
It's a fascinating case study because it directly addresses the failures of the past. It's almost like the industry looked in the mirror and realized, okay, we can't keep printing free money for nothing.
So let's get into it. We have to unpack this tap-to-earn fatigue first. Because to understand why Tapsy is such a big deal now, in 2026, you have to understand why 2024 kind of fell apart.
Right. If we look in the rearview mirror, 2024 was dominated by games like Hamster Combat.
Mm.
And at the time, it seemed revolutionary. You participate, you tap, you get tokens.
The barrier to entry was zero.
Zero. If you had a finger and a phone, you were a player.
It was almost too simple, right?
Oh, yeah.
The ultimate participation trophy.
And that was the problem. The source material highlights this specifically. The fatigue set in because of two main things: massive supply and waning token value.
A harsh lesson in basic macroeconomics.
Very harsh.
Let's break that down. When we say massive supply, what does that actually do to the economy of a game? Because in the real world, you know, governments print money all the time.
True, but usually with some controls. Imagine a central bank that just prints cash and hands it to anyone, walks through the door, no questions asked. If you have millions of people generating tokens just by tapping a screen for hours, the supply just skyrockets. There's no scarcity. And value, whether it's gold, diamonds, or, you know, digital tokens, it relies heavily on scarcity.
So if everyone is printing money, the money isn't worth anything.
Precisely. It's the classic hyperinflation problem. In those Web3 games from 2024, the rewards were based solely on activity duration. It didn't matter if you were smart, strategic, or skilled.
It only mattered that you were tapping.
Just tapping. So you're just flooding the market with tokens that have no real utility backing them.
And basic economics tells us that when supply goes to infinity and demand stays flat,
price crashes. And that's where the fatigue comes from. Users realize they were spending hours of their lives for tokens that were becoming worthless by the day.
It's the death spiral. You tap to earn, the token drops. So you have to tap more to earn the same amount, which creates more tokens, which drops the price even further.
Exactly. It became a digital sweatshop with no real payout.
Okay, so fast forward to right now, February 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Tapsy. The source describes it as the successor trying to solve these exact inflation issues. How are they fixing a model that seems, well, fundamentally broken?
They're doing it by shifting the core mechanic. Tapsy is, you know, positioning itself as a decentralized hub, but the key difference is the gameplay loop. They've realized that to have value, you need to have losers.
That sounds harsh. You need to have losers.
It is, but that's how sustainable markets work. It's skill to earn. You can't just participate anymore. You have to compete.
This is the part that, I mean, it just cracked me up when I was reading through the white paper. I'm expecting some like high-tech, futuristic VR trading game.
Right.
And what are the examples they give? Chess and rock, paper, scissors.
I know. It sounds incredibly basic on the surface. You're reading and you think, we reinvented the future of finance and it's rock, paper, scissors.
Seriously. How is rock, paper, scissors the future of finance? I played that in kindergarten to decide who got the last juice box.
Well, hold on. It's not about the complexity of the game itself. It's about the financial mechanic underneath it.
Okay.
This is where skill to earn comes in. In the old model, you just tapped for rewards. In Tapsy, users must stake TapEZI tokens to even play.
Ah, okay. So you have to put skin in the game. That's the big differentiator. You aren't playing for free.
Exactly. You stake your tokens, you play a match, chess, rock, paper, scissors, whatever, and you have to win to earn.
So if I lose...
You lose your stake. It goes to the winner, minus a small platform fee, usually.
Ouch. Okay, so that changes everything. That stops the mindless tapping immediately. I'm not going to tap mindlessly if it's costing me actual money every time I lose.
It does. It means earnings are based on merit. Mm. It is not about how long you play. It's about how well you play.
Yeah.
And this naturally limits the supply of new tokens being distributed because they're just changing hands between players.
They're not being printed out of thin air.
Exactly. It turns it from a faucet where money just pours out into a tournament. It's a zero-sum game, essentially.
That is actually really clever.
And regarding rock, paper, scissors, while it seems simple, there is a psychological element. It's like high-frequency trading. It's reading your opponent.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's a very low barrier entry point for people to understand the staking mechanic.
Right. You don't need to be a grandmaster in chess to get it.
Exactly.
That makes sense. It's accessible, but the stakes make it serious.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between playing poker with matchsticks versus playing with your rent money. You play differently.
And that is the definition of this second wave. It is treating the user like a competitor, not just a click farm worker.
Okay, so we have this new mechanic, but mechanics don't matter if the math doesn't work. Let's talk about the tokenomics war, as the source calls it. This is stability versus inflation.
This is probably the most critical part for anyone looking at this from an investment perspective.
Right.
You can have the best game in the world, but if the tokenomics are bad, the value, it goes to zero.
So the source draws a direct line between Tapsy and hamster combat. What are the hard numbers here?
The biggest number to pay attention to is the supply cap. Tapsy has a fixed supply of 5 billion tokens.
5 billion, which, you know, sounds like a lot to the average person.
In crypto terms, it's actually quite tight. Compare that to the inflationary models of the past where supplies could run into the trillions or were theoretically infinite.
And fixed means fixed, right? They can't just print more because they feel like it.
Exactly. It's hard-coded. A fixed supply creates scarcity. If the game becomes popular and demand for the token rises because you need it to play, there's no new flood of tokens to dilute that value.
It's the Bitcoin argument, essentially.
Pretty much. Cap supply meets rising demand, value goes up. Whereas hamster combat was more like fiat currency during a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Just print more and more until it takes a wheelbarrow of cash to buy a loaf of bread.
The source also mentions an audit by CoinSalt. Now, for the non-technical listener, why should they care about an audit?
That's significant. In the wild west of crypto gaming, security is often an afterthought. We've seen so many rug pulls or hacks where the smart contract had a backdoor and poof, everyone's money is gone.
So an audit is like a building inspection.
That's a perfect analogy. You wouldn't buy a house if the inspector said the foundation was made of cardboard. An audit from a firm like CoinSalt implies the code's been checked for vulnerabilities. Doesn't guarantee success, but it's a strong trust signal.
It means the vault door is actually locked.
Right.
And what about this tier one listings thing scheduled for Q1 2026?
That's the other half of the legitimacy equation. Tier one listings refer to the biggest centralized exchanges, places like Binance, Coinbase, Kraken.
The big leagues.
If they're on the roadmap to get listed there, it means they're aiming for high liquidity and mass adoption. It moves the project out of the niche experiment phase and into the mainstream.
So, putting it all together, you have a game where you have to actually be good to win, a fixed supply of money so it doesn't inflate away, and security audits to make sure the rug doesn't get pulled.
That's the argument for why this might survive where hamster combat struggled. It's built on, you know, actual economic principles.
Yeah.
Scarcity and competition.
But Tapsy isn't the only shark in the water, right? The source mentions this is a wave, not just one ripple.
No, and that's a healthy sign for the sector. If it was just one app, I'd be skeptical. But we are seeing diversification. The source lists a few other top airdrops to watch.
Let's run through them. First up, Tun Station.
Right. The source calls this the current king of Telegram challenges.
I feel like Telegram has become the operating system for crypto lately.
It really has. Tun Station seems to be leveraging that social infrastructure. It's probably less about skill in a chess sense and more about, say, social skill referrals, community building, that sort of thing.
So if Tapsi is the tournament hall, Tun Station is the town square.
Nice analogy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it builds that network effect.
Then there's Dropi. The source says this is a quiz-based game nearing its token generation event.
I find this one interesting because it pivots to knowledge. If Tapsi is about game skill, Dropi is about intellectual knowledge.
You learn to earn.
Exactly. The skill is trivia or education. It attracts a totally different demographic.
I'd take a trivia game over tapping a hamster any day. And then there's GameRec.
This one stood out to me because of the payout.
Yes, this is a base network project. And what makes it unique is that it rewards users in real USDC.
USDC. That's a stablecoin. Pegged to the US dollar.
That's a huge differentiator. Usually games pay you in their own magical internet money, which might crash tomorrow.
But USDC is effectively digital dollars.
Right. GameRec is paying in something that holds real rung value immediately. If you earn 10 USDC, you have $10. Period.
That is bold. It feels like a job at that point. It connects to the bigger picture. We are seeing a split in the market. You have high-risk, high-reward games like Tapsi, engagement platforms like Tun Station, knowledge games like Dropi, and now wage-like platforms like GameRec.
It's not just one flavor of ice cream anymore.
Exactly. There's something for every risk appetite.
Okay, so let's say the listener is sitting there hearing all this and thinking, all right, I want in. The source actually gives a strategy guide.
It does, and the advice is very specific.
The first thing they mention is that casual play isn't going to cut it.
Right. To really maximize earnings, especially in Tapsi, the source says you need to participate in global tournaments.
So don't just play a match here and there.
No. The high-value airdrops are likely reserved for the top tier of competitors. Mm-hmm. You need to enter the tournaments where the stakes and the rewards are higher.
And then there's staking. The source says, stake your initial rewards.
This is the compound interest effect. Instead of cashing out every time you win, you put that winning back into the system to play bigger matches or earn staking yields.
Reinvesting the profits.
It signals commitment. And these systems, the algorithms, they often reward loyalty.
Now, here's the warning label. We have to talk about this because it was the plague of 2024, bots.
This is crucial. In 2024, people used auto-clickers and scripts to farm points.
I admit I may have taped a massage gun to my phone once, allegedly.
You and half the internet. But in a merit-based system, that doesn't work. And worse, it can get you banned.
How do they know, though?
Well, since the system relies on skill, like making a chess move, algorithms can detect if you're playing like a human or a machine. A chess engine plays differently than a person. It makes moves instantly with perfect tactical accuracy.
So if you use a chess engine to cheat,
you are likely to get disqualified. And the source warns this can block you from high-value airdrops.
And unlike the old days where you just made a new account, here you have staked tokens if you get banned.
You potentially lose your capital. The risk of cheating is now a real financial loss.
That's a powerful deterrent. So the strategy is, be human, be actually good at the game, stake your winnings, and aim for the tournaments.
Simple to say, harder to execute. But that's the point. That's why the value might be sustainable, because it's hard.
So what does this all mean? We've looked at the history, the new mechanics, the tokenomics. The source wraps this up with a verdict on Tapsi.
They call it a test for the Web3 gaming economy.
That feels like a lot of pressure for a game with rock, paper, scissors.
It is. But if Tapsi succeeds, it proves that a merit-based deflationary model actually works. If it fails, well, we might go back to the drawing board.
The source gives it a rating. They say it's a hold.
But with a massive caveat. A hold only if the user possesses the necessary gaming skills.
Right. Don't hold if you're terrible at chess.
Exactly. If you're bad at the game, you're not an investor. You're the yield. You are the liquidity for the good players.
This brings us to a really interesting place to leave you, the listener. We are seeing a shift where gaming is no longer just escapism. It involves staking your own money, proving your merit, and potentially earning an income.
It blurs the line completely. It's the financialization of leisure time.
So here's the question we want you to mull over. If gaming is now about staking capital, proving merit, and earning a wage, at what point does playing stop being a game and start being a job?
And if it becomes a job, with all the stress of losing money, is it still fun?
That is the question. Thanks for diving in with us. We will catch you on the next wave.
Stay sharp.